Well, I want you to take your worship bulletin for just a minute, and I want to direct your attention to something here. On the inside of your worship bulletin, just underneath that insert, you'll see something called Scripture Surfing. Right there. Well, that's what we talked about a little bit last week. I gave you an assignment right before we left. It was verbal, but I gave you an assignment of some Scripture to let the Lord speak to you through these Scriptures throughout this week. And I gave you that assignment. And I hope this morning that you brought your surfboard and a good mask and a snorkel and some flippers. Everybody have that? You got that memo, didn't you? Uh-oh. You'll be okay. All right. What does this mean? What do I mean by surfing the Scriptures? Well, you're familiar with a surfboard and surfing it. Well, when you surf, you want to stay on the surface of the water. You want to get on that wave and you want to ride that wave and you're all surface. You're staying on the surface. Well, that's what we want to do with the Scripture surfing. Not you on your own. When you read it on your own, hey, you get in there, you let the Lord speak to you, you journal, you ask the Lord before you read, you say, Lord, speak to me. What are you telling me? And just, you don't have to take a bunch of notes through every chapter, just whatever the Lord's speaking to you as you read His Word. You jot that down. You need that. He's telling you something. You need to pray it in. And so, yeah, you'll get a little deeper, but when I'm talking about Scripture surfing right here, I just want to hit a couple of points. I've been doing this week. I've been reading this week, and I've been journaling. The Lord's been speaking some things to me, and so I just want to touch a few points, very surface, just up on the surface. So we're just going to surf across the surface of that Scripture a little bit. And then I told you that three times this week we would dive down. That's why you need your mask and your snorkel and your flippers. And so together we came Wednesday night and we surfed. We were surfing on those waves. And then we dove down Wednesday night at a certain point. And so we're reading through Isaiah. We're reading in Isaiah and we're reading in Matthew and we're reading some in the Psalms. And so surfacely, we're talking a little bit. Wednesday night we talked some. And then we dove down. We took a certain passage of Scripture and we looked more in depth at that. Well, here we are Sunday morning again. We've been surfing, and we looked at passages up until Wednesday, and now the passages that you read from Wednesday on, if you're doing two a day, now we're going to dive again here Sunday morning. We're about to dive down, and we're going to look at a certain passage of Scripture, and then we surf a little more on the surface tonight when we get here together, and then tonight we're going to dive down again, and there's going to be another passage of Scripture we're going to look more in depth at. So, just real quick, open your Bible and surf with me for just a minute here. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 36. And you may have already been reading this week. You did if you read that assignment. And that's your assignment for next week right there in the worship bulletin. You'll be prepared and ready to go for next week as you do those each day. Monday and Tuesday, have those read by Wednesday. We'll dive down Wednesday in something that you read Monday and Tuesday. And then you keep reading Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then we're going to dive down Sunday morning on something you read during that time. And then we're going to dive down next Sunday night on something you read during that time. And so real quick, a couple of things that the Lord spoke to me that stood out to me. Isaiah chapter 36. If you're new at this, there's a Bible right beside you in the chair. And you just open up to dead center in your Bible. And then turn forward a little more. And you'll see Isaiah. But in Isaiah chapter 36, actually Isaiah chapter 35, that's where we left off. 35, 36, 37, and 38. And then tonight we'll look at 39, 40, 41, 42. In 35, the thing that stood out to me is this last part of 9b and 10. My goodness, and I mentioned it this morning. No lion will be there. No. Nor will any ferocious beasts get up on it, but they will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. Listen to these promises. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. This is you if you follow the Lord. These are yours. And sorrow and sighing will flee away in verse 35. And then in chapter 36, What's one thing that stood out to me in 36 is Sennacherib, this king, this enemy king, is coming against Hezekiah, the Lord's king here. And this king, this enemy, Sennacherib, he's challenging the true king, God's king, Hezekiah, and he's challenging the people, God's people, and he is telling them lies, and he's saying, who are you depending on? Egypt? The Lord? And then this evil king, this king not following the Lord, he says, the Lord himself told me to march against this country. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He can't deliver you. And so this enemy king, he's trying to tell all the people, oh, don't let your king deceive you. He can't deliver you. And so Hezekiah, this king, they hear this message, and he goes before the Lord. But how often do you hear lies like that? We have an enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil. You will hear lies like that often as a believer. But what do you do? Do what Hezekiah did. And then we look in chapter 37, and here's what Hezekiah did. He heard this message, and he got before the Lord. He and some of the others with him, they went before the Lord. They put on sackcloth in a repentant attitude. They went before the Lord, and they went to the Lord's prophet, who was Isaiah. They went to Isaiah. They sought the Lord. So when you hear some pretty ugly things coming up against you, hey, don't believe it. Just go to the Lord. See what the Lord says about it. So they go to Isaiah, and then they hear from the Lord instead of believing this king's lies. And the Lord tells them, don't be afraid of his words. Here's what's going to happen to him. He'll hear a report on this certain day, and then he'll be cut down. He's going to be killed, and that's exactly what happened. And Hezekiah went before the Lord, and he spread out this letter that he had gotten from that enemy king, and he just prayed to the Lord. That's what you need to do when something comes against you. And then in 38, God tells Hezekiah, his king, his choice king, God tells him, put your house in order, you are going to die. And then Hezekiah turns to the Lord, and he remembers, he tells the Lord, remember, Lord, I walked faithfully, I've done what is good in your eyes. And you know what the Lord told him? The Lord said, you know, put your house in order, it's time for you to go. But he cried out to the Lord. And you know what? The Lord did something different. The Lord told him, I have heard your prayers, I've seen your tears, and I will add 15 years to you, to your life. And then he gave him a sign of it, here's a sign that it will happen. And so you keep crying out to the Lord. What are you asking him for? You keep going to him. And then in Matthew, flip on over to Matthew and look at chapter 10, and this is where we're going to dive down. Matthew chapter 10. And if you're new at this, that's in your New Testament. That's that last third of your Bible. You see Matthew there. And in Matthew 10, here's something that stood out to me. This is just kind of what the Lord's speaking to me through Matthew 10. You will be persecuted if you're a believer. All men will hate you because of me, Jesus mentioned. You'll be persecuted. And Jesus also mentioned, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Hey, stand bold for the Lord. If he works in your life and he pierces your heart today and you trust in him and you get saved, hey, jump right up out of that aisle and you stand for him. Don't be ashamed of him. Stand before him before men. If you're at work and people are talking about some different things, you stand for the Lord. Acknowledge him before men. And then he mentions this, whoever loves his son or daughter, and he mentions all these relationships, whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then Matthew 11, rest for the weary. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, there's your surfing for now. We'll surf some more tonight. We'll go on further with that reading. But right now, keep in Matthew 10. Let's dive down a little bit. And the title of this message is Go. Go. You know, I love some of those movies, and it's got this music, and it goes, Go ahead. Da-da-da. You know it. Mission Impossible. The Mission Impossible. I love some of these movies. I loved that last one with Tom Cruise on the world's tallest building. My goodness. And it's always about a mission that is impossible. And somebody has given these instructions at the beginning. You know, they're given this mission. And they always say something like this. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is this. And it mentions the mission. And then, of course, it'll always say, this message will self-destruct in just a moment. I don't think anything's going to self-destruct here, I hope, in our time together. But you are on a mission impossible. You have been given a mission by the Lord. Maybe you heard that faint little music in the background. But the Lord has given a great commission. And He has said, before He ascended to heaven, He gave you a mission. All disciples, all those that would follow Him. And He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You've been given a mission impossible if you are a Christian. And it is an impossible mission. To do what Jesus commanded there, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, teach them to obey Him. That's an impossible mission. To live the Christian life, to be a disciple of His, to follow Him. That's an impossible mission. What does it look like to live the Christian life? Well, it looks like Jesus. You're a little Christ. You're a follower of His. You look like Him when you're His disciple, when you follow Him. And that's God's goal. God is making you more and more like Him. Well, that's impossible for you to look like Jesus. But you see, it is a mission impossible. But you see, with God, all things are possible. And you see, if you're a believer, the last thing Jesus said when He gave you that mission was, and lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And then He told His disciples, wait here. Don't go out and do these things I just told you about, but you wait here until this power from on high comes. And in Acts chapter 1:8, since the mission's impossible, God gave them the power. In Acts 1:8, He said, in Acts 1:8, they're promised the power. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, it's an impossible mission, but you see, He gives His Holy Spirit to you. And if you're a believer, He's already deposited His Holy Spirit in you. His Holy Spirit lives in you. And so now, yes, you can live the Christian life. You can do this mission, but it's not you, it's Him. It's Him working through you. And so in Matthew 10, verses 1 through 16, let me share this with you. God gives us here His power. And this morning, I want you and I want myself, I want all of us to receive His two things. Receive His power and receive His instruction. And we see these in Matthew 10, 1 through 16. He called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. We see two things here. Receive His power, first of all. We see that in the first four verses. Let me pray first. Father, we ask for Your power right now. We ask for You to speak to each of our hearts, to do the impossible, to open our hearts to the Word that You desire to speak to each one of us. Get me out of the way and let us hear from You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that we need to do on this Mission Impossible is receive His power. You see that in the first four verses. You see, He called His 12, verse 1, He called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them. You see that? He called them to Him and then He gave them some things. You see, the first step to go, to do this Mission Impossible, to live the Christian life, to share Jesus with people, to see people coming to Jesus, to do that mission that He's called you to. The first thing is to hear Him calling you to Himself. Go to Him first. Go to Him first. Go to Him in those quiet places. Go to Him often so that He can give you what you need. Go to Him. He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then He mentions their names here. First of all, you need to receive His power. Go to Him. Spend those times alone with Him. That's what that scripture surfing's all about. Get with Him early in the morning before anything starts. Is He a priority in your life? Yeah, if you're not careful, you're going to wake up and say, well, you know, I had to get right to work. I just didn't have enough time this morning. Well, what's more important, work or Jesus? It's up to you. Your relationship with Him. What is it to you? Well, if you want to follow Him, if you want to receive this power, go to where He is. Get with Him. Spend these times with Him. Receive from Him. Start your day with receiving His power. You see, you're plugging in for the day. You can rush out and scurry into the world and head on off to work and do whatever, head on off to school and do whatever. Yeah, and not be plugged in. And try living your day in your own human strength and your power and what you got. And I know you know the truth. It's a lot better to plug in the morning. Plug into Him before anything else starts. Plug into that power source. Go to Him. Receive from Him what He wants to give you for that day. Receive His power. Receive His Spirit. Be with Him. And then also receive instruction. So first of all, receive His power in those first four verses. And then in the rest of the verses we've got here, this is about receiving His instruction. Receive His instruction. Now I want to share with you one who, two what's, and three who's. And you say, what? It'll help you remember it. One who, two what's, and three who's. You got that? Try it. One. Wait, now I'm getting confused. Okay. One who. Come on, do that if you can. One who, two what's, and three who's. Okay, that's His instruction to you. To go. That's His instruction to you. All right, one who. That's the first thing you need to ask Him. So you go to Him. You receive His power. You receive what He wants to give you in that morning, that whatever. And then the first who is, Lord, who do I go to today? Who do I go to? That's your first who. We see that in verse 5 and 6. See, in His instructions, He tells them specifically, here's who to go to. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. You see, He tells them who to go to the Lord. Lord, who do I go to? At any given time, you can pray that anytime. Lord, who do I go to? All right. Last night, I'm about to go on a date with Allison. Lord, so the prayer right before. Lord, who do I go to? Allison. Okay. Maybe you're going to work. Lord, who do I go to? It's probably going to be pretty simple. He's probably going to tell you, well, all your people at work, those that I've got there for. You're going to school. Lord, who do I go to? Well, those you're going to see at school. That's probably what it'll amount to. So, who to go to? You see that first. And you receive that instruction first. And then your two what's. After you receive that instruction. One more example. I've been helping coach John Allen soccer. So before I get there, I pray before I'm with all these kids. Lord, who do I go to? Well, it's the soccer team. That's the mission field at that time. You get it. Who do I go to, Lord? So receive his instruction on who to go to. And then the first what. And then what to say. Receive his instruction on what to say. Well, that's in verse 7. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. What does that mean? Well, the kingdom is wherever God rules and reigns. It's where Jesus Christ rules and reigns. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And it is, as long as you're letting him be in control of your life. At any given moment that I'm totally surrendered and I say, Jesus, forget about me. You take control of my life. Fill me with your spirit. I let you be in control. Have thine own way, Lord, whatever you want. At the moment that I'm surrendered like that, the kingdom of God is within me. See, he can rule and reign over me. He can use me for whatever he wants. And it's the same is true for you. The kingdom of God is where he rules and reigns. So it can be over you. I love to pray, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, I like to pray that. I like to pray it, and I know it's a blueprint for prayer, but I like to pray it the way Jesus said it in Matthew. And just about every morning at some point, I'll say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And what am I praying? I'm saying, Lord, your kingdom come in my life. Rule and reign over me today. Your kingdom come in my family's life. Rule and reign over Allison, John Allen, Anna, and Christian. Lord, rule and reign my extended family's life today. Rule and reign over each of them. Lord, rule and reign over this church family today. Rule and reign over each one of these that you have here. You see, your kingdom come. And so, the kingdom is where he rules and reigns. And what's Jesus saying here? As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. You see, everybody and anybody, at any given moment, you're this close to God Almighty. To the glorious Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who pursues you with his love and his grace and his truth, the Holy Spirit who is all around you, the Godhead 3-in-1. You're that far away from him. At any given moment, at school, at work, in the hardest situations, wherever you are, he's right there. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's that close. It's just a matter of you surrendering. As soon as you're ready to surrender, let him be in control. God, open my spiritual eyes so I can see your kingdom. Bam, you're in it. You get to see him work. You get to see him do his miracles. And that's the message. Preach that message to people. Let everybody know, you know, God, is this near to you? You know, if you will just surrender to him, just let him have his way. Do you know what he's going to do right now in your life right here? That's the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. And he'll guide you in what to say exactly. But that's the principle here. What to say. So, who to go to? The first what to say. The second what to do. What to do. What does he say here in verse 8? In verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You've received quite a few things from the Lord. You freely give. Maybe he's healed you at different times. Maybe he's raised you from the dead. Maybe you were spiritually dead. He's raised you at different times. There's a lot of spiritually dead people around you. What to do? What should you do? So who do you go to? What do you say? The kingdom of heaven is near. You live that out among them. What do you do? What do you do? You heal the sick. Go see them in the hospital. Go visit them. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. Pray for them wherever they are. They're telling you about a need. Be praying for them. Continue to pray for them. Tell others about them. Tell your Bible study group about them. Be praying for them. You're healing the sick. Raise the dead. Help those. There are many spiritually dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. A lot of people need to be cleansed from different things. You help them. Allow the Lord to use you. Drive out the demons. He's given you that authority. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. What to do? So you got one who. Who to go to? Two what's. What to say? What to do? And then three who's. Three who's. In 9 and 10, we see who to depend on in the Lord's instructions to us. In verse 9 and 10, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, no extra tunic, no sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. You know, I think one reason God sent them out with nothing, none of this stuff, so they'd be totally dependent on Him. Go and make disciples. And, you know, to make disciples, you got to be totally dependent on me. You got to be surrendered. Where it's not you, you're out of the way. The kingdom of God is within you. You're letting me be in control. You're depending on me each moment. I'm the only one that can do it. I'm the only one that can heal the sick. I'm the only one that can raise the dead. I'm the only one that can drive out demons. You're just my vessel. You're just dependent on me. And depend on Him. Live dependent on Him. Who to depend on. And then who to connect with. And I tell you what, just an example of this. Okay, I'm just going to take that soccer really quick. Okay, this past Thursday night, the head coach is out of town, so I've got it. And we're practicing over at Gateway Baptist Church. And there's a little soccer field out front, and there's a big cross there. And so I pray beforehand. A lot of times, John Allen will pray with me. We'll be on our way there, and we'll just pray for every person on the team and their parents, and we'll just be praying. Well, who to go to? We're heading to the soccer field. All these kids, all their parents. What to say? The kingdom of God is near. Just let that message be on your heart, whoever you're talking to. Just be letting them know, hey, the Lord is this close to you. You just surrender to Him. Do you know Him yet? You got that relationship? Let me show you how. Here's ABC booklets, these little pocket crosses. You've got that message. What to say? What to do? What to do? Well, whatever need comes up. You know, my mom is real sick. Hey, I'll pray for her. You're healing the sick. Let me pray for her. Let's pray together for her right now. What to do? Who to depend on? Make sure the kingdom of God is within you. You're out of the way. Just, Lord, we're dependent on you. And, you know, we were kind of doing those things. And I just thought the neatest thing happened after the practice. I just said, well, I'm going to say a prayer together. I'm going to go right over here. And you know, I know, you know, it's a Christian organization, you know, yeah, you know, we're YMCA, that's Christian. And I went ahead and said, but I know you might not follow the God of the Bible yet. But I just want to tell you, I'm about to go pray to the God of the Bible. I'm going to go right over here. And if anybody wants to join me, you come. You come. We're going to pray to the God of the Bible. So, you know, I go over there and I was telling them, you know, I just don't want you to feel like you have to go. See, our God's a gentleman. He doesn't make anybody do anything. He's not going to make you come over here and pray. And I'm not going to make you pray. If that's something you want to do, if you want to pray to the God of the Bible, meet me right over here. And they all came. And I said, you know, nobody's going to make you feel bad. If you don't want to, you know, you head on back to your car. So we go over there and we pray. And so we pray together. And then it was just neat. I just believe the Spirit of God was there. And I said that... you know, if any of you ever have any questions, you know, I'm already praying for you. And if you ever have any questions, you know, don't hesitate to ask. I love talking about the Lord and the things of the Lord. You know, well, this one girl, she raised her hand and she goes, I have a question. She said, what about somebody who just will not come to the Lord? They don't know the Lord. And so we start talking about that. And then a lot of the other kids start talking. They're sharing ideas. Well, you could pray for her. Be praying. And hear the soccer team's talking about these things. And then, same girl asks another question. And then somebody else has another question. And then this girl talks about this cross that, you know, I know about this cross you can kind of hold and you can pray with it. And I said, I'd like to see that. I said, I've got these little pocket crosses. And then they're wanting pocket crosses. They all want a pocket cross. And then I get to share the little booklet because they're talking about sharing with their friends. How can we share Jesus? But you see, that's it. That's it. Who to go to? What to say? What to do? Who to depend on? Who to connect with? You see, in verses 11 through 13, that's basically saying, find a person of peace. You're going into that environment. You know who the Lord's telling you to reach. Maybe it's your work environment. Verses 11, 13 saying, find a person of peace. Find somebody there who already knows the Lord. They're good with this message. They're a person of peace. Hey, get with them. Connect with them. Stay with them. Stay with that person. Be with them. Hey, y'all start praying together for this group. Y'all start trying to reach them together. That's what your Bible study group is right here. That's some people of peace right there. Who to connect with. And then finally, who to leave. In verse 14 to 16, sometimes we're not too good at this. Verses 14 to 16, who to leave. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. And he goes on from there. You got to be sensitive to the Spirit. You got to listen to the Lord on this one. There's been, I remember witnessing to a young man for probably 2 or 3 years, going out to lunch with him all the time. And I was always praying, Lord, do I keep on taking it? Is anything going to happen here? And you got to be sensitive to the Lord. I remember one time being in the Bass Pro Shop in Destin, Florida, and talking to this one guy behind one of those little kiosks, and we got to talking about the Lord, and he was real skeptical, and he had all these arguments about the Bible, and we were going back and forth in a good, you know, gentle way, no yelling or anything. We were just going back and forth. I think I spent 2 hours in there or something talking to this guy, and I realized when I left that the Spirit was telling me to leave it, maybe 5 or 10 minutes into our conversation, I think the Lord wanted me to go ahead and leave. I'm shaking the dust off. He's not welcoming it. He's not taking this message. Maybe it's not the right time. You can keep praying for him. Who to leave? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for your incredible, impossible mission to be your follower, to look like you, Jesus. And what did you do? You went to seek and to save that which was lost. You made disciples. And now you've called us to do that. Lord, we can't do it. But you've told us to receive your power. And we thank you. We have the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you've told us to receive your instruction. Lord, thank you for your instructions. Lord, help us often, Lord, very often to receive power from you and then to receive your instruction. Lord, let us know who to go to at any given time. Let us give us the words. Let us know what to say, what to do, who to depend on, totally on you, who to connect with in that environment, and who to leave. Help us in these things, Lord. And if there's somebody here today, Lord, that needs to come to you, they've realized that they don't have you. They don't have a relationship with you. They're lost in their sins. And they know that if they die, when they leave here, they will be in hell. They'll be apart from you forever. Lord, help that person right now, Lord, to receive your good news and to say, Lord, I'm not going to be ashamed. You said those who disown you before men, you will disown before your Father. Lord, I'm going to stand for you before men, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help that person, Lord, to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know there's nothing I can do to get me to heaven, and so I repent. I turn to you, and I thank you that you have made the way, Jesus. I thank you that you are the way. I believe you died for all my sins, that you're raised from the dead, and I call on you. I say, save me right now, Jesus. Have mercy on me. I totally depend on you and only you to save me. Come into my life and help me to follow you and stand for you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if that's you, you come. Don't be ashamed. You stand. And as Chris leads us in this song, you come down this aisle, you share that with us. Maybe the Lord's spoken something else to you this morning, like this is your church home or something like that. I don't know what He's saying to you, but you do whatever the Lord tells you. And if that's what He's telling you, you come, you join this church, whatever He's telling you, you make that decision. If you need to pray, don't sing. Don't sing this song. If there's something. He's spoken something to you. He's speaking something to you right now. And you just need to get with him and receive what he has for you right now. You just pray. If you want to come to the altar, you come to the altar and pray. But you just pray. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it as Chris leads us.